Fanning on 2FM.
Right, let me see. Ian, are you all right there? Are you nearly seated?
Yeah, nearly.
Okay, booted and suited. Okay, here's a question here that I want to ask people here, because have you been hit with the cleaning craze that seems to have swept the nation thanks to, what do you call your woman, Marie Kondo? What is she all about? She's more famous now than when I did an item on her about 2 years ago. It's all over the world. Is she a billionaire out of all this? Is she, do you think?
I'm sure she's making a few bob,
all right. Yeah, here, sit nearer the mic there. Yeah. Basically, before you clear out the entire contents of your house, it might be worth keeping an eye out for the items that might not exactly spark joy, to quote her, but could actually be of great value. So here to tell us what not to throw out is Ian White, the Managing Director of White's Art and Collectibles Auction House. Ian, welcome along. You're comfortably ensconced there. Okay, fair enough. What sort of things might people have in their houses that could be of value? Or is that a bit of a wide-ranging question?
Well, there's always, I think in any house there has to be some things of value. Obviously the things like paintings and antiques, yeah, and we know about those, silver and for a bit of furniture might be good. But it's the more unusual things. It's sometimes, for instance, old photograph albums. Your great granny might
have
an old photograph album.
Of my family.
Of your family.
Like they're not necessarily that interesting. Well,
if
said
it goes,
that I've never
if
done.
It goes back far enough, if it goes back to like 19th century or even early 20th century, and I've often rooted through and you find, oh, they were at some event and they took a little photograph with their little camera, and some of those photographs are quite valuable.
Wow, you know,
the reason
just
being is it's like an eyewitness thing. It's same with old letters. You might find going through some, you find a whole pile of old letters and you start going through them. Now, most of them things that demands for money or bills or stuff, and you find some letter somebody, your great grandfather was out in O'Connell Street in 1916, knows a few lads breaking into the post office, and he writes about it to somebody, and that's what we call an eyewitness account, and those things are quite valuable now.
So I am only half listening to you there, because you've stirred something in me. Now, this is really kind of weird, because my parents, best parents in the entire universe, all the rest of it, etc., but they weren't the type who went out very much in terms of socialising and doing lots of stuff, and they were very happy and very brilliant. But my father was a commissioner on the Board of Works in Stephen's Green, and one of the few times I remember seeing him in it, I've never seen him in a Dickie Bow in my life and have a photograph. And you know what they did go to, which is, there is a photo. Do you remember Kennedy, president, as Ian came to Dublin? There was some yoke, some big dinner thing or whatever.
There was,
And that's them at the dinner thing.
Yeah.
I wonder who's in the background. Is that what you mean? Would that help?
That kind of thing, or even if he didn't get that photograph autographed by Kennedy himself.
That kind of would have helped.
We've had that, Ian.
Oh, really?
People who met him, and those real autographs, because a lot of the stuff that came from the White House during the Kennedy regime was done by a machine. He had an autograph machine.
Oh, right, of course.
And signed his letters.
Yeah.
But the ones you get from the Irish visit can be worth, we've had up to 2,000 or 3,000 for some of those pieces.
Right, and do you think he really would have signed 2,000 or 3,000?
Oh, he was great.
Really?
I mean, he loved being in Ireland.
Yeah, I don't think my parents actually met him that night, but he was there.
Well, and you have the photograph.
It's somewhere, here we go, the attic.
But this
again,
is, you know, well, Ryan Tubridy would be after that, by the way.
Yeah, right, of course, absolutely. Yeah, indeed, relation there too. Okay, so you're saying the photographs of the past, and the further back, maybe the better, because you never know what it might have been.
Yeah, I mean, the early photographs really started here in Ireland about the 1860s. Those early photographs are very, very valuable. But as I say, other photographs, the other kind of things, I mean, there's people say...
Can I just stay with photos for a second? Because I presume with all the kind of commemorations and etc. that are going on at the moment for 2 years ago, 1916, but also now with the War of Independence and all the everything military and all the rest of it, I presume if your ancestors were involved in anything, you might have anything at all, be it letter, photograph, or whatever.
I think most of this country were involved in one side or the other. Either they went to they went to war in 1914-18 in the Irish regiments, or they were in the Irish Volunteers or the IRA, and they all have the medals. Lots of medals were given out, things like that. Any ephemera to do with that, ephemera being paper stuff or tickets or something like that. So anything to do with that is collectible and valuable, and should be expertised, as they say. Unfortunately, a lot of stuff did get thrown out, especially after in the 1930s, because people wanted to forget about it, and they destroyed a lot of stuff. So that's why some of this is very valuable.
Yeah, it's amazing how, everybody takes photos now every 5 seconds and that, and the amount of famous even rock stars that have been in here with me in the 80s or whatever. And like, this, I forgot to bring in a camera. You know, if you didn't bring in a camera, it wasn't
well,
a phone.
I'm expecting you to have a house full of great
memorabilia. In fact, I'm looking at your rocking one there. It's amazing. The old rock world is big, isn't it?
Yeah. And again, you know, somebody say your parents or your grandparents may have been to those early concerts in the 60s. Like, we had Bob Dylan, we had the Beatles, we had the Rolling Stones in Adelphi all in 1 year. And tickets and programs from those events are worth a bit of money.
Yeah.
I think Bill Haley came here too in those days. Anything to do with the famous people who visited here are worth having.
Do you know what I do have, which isn't that long ago? Yeah. And I don't know if I'm talking about me, but I'll just stay with me for this one here, which is the night that, what do you call it? Nirvana were supposed to play in Dublin.
Right, yeah.
Now, I have two things. First of all, I've got the poster, the original poster.
The poster is a good one.
I've got the tickets that I bought for the gig, which never happened, of course, because it died on the day that gig was supposed to be in Dublin.
The tickets, unfortunately, are not worth a lot because everybody kept them.
Yeah.
And they were asked.
They were offered
a refund and they didn't take it. And I often say to people, you're better off to have taken the refund.
Right.
But the poster's worth 1,000 upwards, you know. And I've seen some make more than that. They're worth having, and stuff to do with the program, say for the Beatles and the Adelphi, is good. And I was trying to remember the Rolling Stones one. They had a show band in there as a warm up act, and
they were supported by a show band, really.
Yeah, and I can't remember if the life be the show band. That's a good
ask Geldof, because Geldof claims he was at both those gigs.
I was at the Stones.
At the Beatles and the Stones. Yeah.
I remember the ticket. We were only 14 years old at the time, and a few of us went. The ticket was 12 shillings and sixpence, which was a fortune at the time.
Right, yeah, indeed. Yeah. Okay, well, listen, look, so photos then might be valuable, etc.
Yeah.
Like old advertising stuff, old letters, anything?
Yeah. You know, sometimes people, they might have owned a shop or something or a business.
Yeah.
And they'd have old signs for selling cigarettes or sweets or stuff like that. All that's collectible. Or drink.
Do you know the signs that would be on a tin kind of background?
Yes.
Like, you know, that might cut your finger kind of signs.
Yeah, those metal signs are very collectible. And they can range from like €100 up to a couple of thousand sometimes for some of the really rare
like
ones.
Like Guinness for Strength or Craven A cigarettes.
Exactly,
that kind of stuff,
They're good for you.
Yeah. Sweet afternoon are the best because they're untipped.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff is.
What about banknotes and money?
Yeah, money is good. I mean, you'll always find a bit of money lying around the house. It could be a jar of coins. Generally speaking, those jars of coins don't have a lot of value. But the thing is, if you look out for any silver coins before 1945, they actually have silver in them. So that makes them valuable just for the metal content, let alone the date. So look out for silver coins before 45.
You mean a coin before 45 that was like a change, a give over, might have actual silver in it?
Real silver in it,
really?
Yeah. So they're bought for scrap. So at least they're worth that, and they could be worth a lot more depending on dates and stuff like that.
Are there specific coins that are worth something?
Many years ago when I first started the business, a bus conductor came into me, and we used to have bus conductors in those days, and they had a satchel with the money in it. And this fellow was a bit of a coin collector. He used to check his satchel every day, and he came and he found a 1943 2-shilling piece, an Irish florin, as they called it. And that was a very rare coin he brought in. I remember I think we got him about £1,500 at the time,
really?
Which was like 2 or 3 years' wages.
Yeah.
You know, now that coin's worth 10 to 15,000. So it's worth looking out for.
So is there a way to find out through Whites what coins are?
Yeah, you can go to the website whites.ie and you can look through it and find coins. And there's lots of other websites with coin values on them.
And when you say worth... Worth to whom? I mean, like...
To a collector.
There's
collectors. They want to get every Irish coin, say, from 1928 to date.
Oh, of course.
And they're missing the 43, so they're willing to pay money for it.
Are there any kind of P coins, like when the D left that money and the P... Like, I mean, what about the 20p coin with the horse on it? Is that what...
Oh, yeah. There's one of those is worth money. And the date is the thing. It's 1985, 20 pence, because they brought out 500 of them to test them. And they tested it, you know, they would send them to people who made vending machines and test them out, see if they work.
Somebody told me they were worth money. I said, how could a 1985 20p coin be worth...
We've sold a few between 5,000 and 7,000 each. But it is 1985, and it's the Irish
it's
one.
It's the actual date.
Yeah,
all
the other dates are not. They're only worth 20 pence, I'm afraid. Yeah.
All right, okay, fair enough. Also, like, I mean, you mentioned concert tickets and programmes. Yeah. Autographs. Now, the problem with autographs is authentication, surely.
Yes, it is to a large degree. But you do find autograph collecting was very popular right up to maybe the 60s. People used to go around with these little books and go to events and get people to sign them. Usually you'll find those autographs are genuine, and you can compare them or show them to an expert and compare them and so forth. Now, a lot of the autographs, they're of people we don't know, even know who they are anymore, but you do come across the odd few. As I think I mentioned with the movie on the moment, Laurel and Hardy, who came here in the early 50s, they did a couple of concerts in I think it was the Gaiety Theatre.
The Olympia.
But so those are scarce to get, an Olympia programme signed by the two lads. And they're still huge, and I think the movie's now going to make them even bigger again.
Stan and Ollie, yeah. It's good. It's very good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all that kind of stuff, obviously, as I say, so authenticated is another thing altogether. But sports programmes and all that,
sports,
from
yeah.
pre-something, is it?
Pre-60s, generally, you know. GAA, of course, is huge here, but particularly programmes from All Ireland. The All Ireland finals are what people want, and it's the programmes from those, particularly from teams that didn't win very often, you know, like maybe Roscommon or something like that. But Dublin, Kerry,
and it would give the full name of the line out of the team, and that's all important.
Yeah, sometimes
I remember when Manchester United won the European Cup 10 years after the
the one in Lisbon in
the 68, basically.
Yeah, it was in Wembley when they actually won
4-1. But the point is, the next match they had to play was actually, they were drawn against Watford, which was September of that year. And even though United were drawn at home first, they let Watford be at home first. Yeah. United won 10-0 or something the second leg. Yeah. But in the first leg, United won 3-0. Yeah. I think it was 3-0 or not 3-1. And Dennis Law got a hat-trick. But the point about it is, I was at that match and I saw George Best. Yeah. And in fact, George Best at one stage comes out at half-time. It could never happen. A little kid in a duffel coat ran out, asked, gave him a piece of paper, and he signed it. And he just stood the kick-off. Yeah. That would be worth something. Yeah, my point is, like, you know, if you had that programme and, like, G Best, you know, B Charlton and, you know, D
all those guys, yeah.
That'd be worth something.
It's something. And also the programme of the first Busby Babes before they were killed in the crash.
Listen, by the way, if I give out the number now, this is going to turn into Antiques Roadshow. I know it will, you know. But anyway, here goes 51552, because we're talking to the man who knows everything, who decide, by the way, your future of your attic. Ian White, the MD of White's Auction House. Now, here's one here already. Look, how much is a George Best £5 note worth? What is the George Best £5 note?
The bank up in Northern Ireland, one of the banks there, well, actually I think a couple of them did produce bank £5 notes with George Best on them, but unfortunately a lot of people are hoarding them, so they retail about £10, but I don't think you'll get £10 for them. You might do, you could always put them into eBay or something like that, see what happens, but so far they're not terribly valuable because so many people hoarded them.
He used to do an ad for Cookstown sausages, so if you get the sausages that he was actually eating during the ad, that'd be worth a fortune. Okay, so autograph books then, just staying with autographers.
Yeah, they're interesting. Sports, you know, sport, there's a lot of sports ones. Funny enough, some are quite obscure. So, like, funny, we found people who had cricket teams, English cricket teams in the 1930s, are very collectible for some reason or other. But cricket people have that thing about collecting everything, and very into the pernickety, you know, the run rate and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's part of the attraction to be pernickety.
Yeah, I think so.
What about old bottles of booze?
Yeah, they're the in thing at the moment. Whiskey is a big collectible at the moment.
And people wouldn't have a clue, would they? It might be sitting there for 40 years.
Yeah, it's quite, I find it going to houses of people who are teetotalers.
Yeah,
and they got people a present, give them a bottle of whiskey, and they have a whole cabinet full of it in case somebody ever comes in looking for a drink. And some of them have whiskies. Like I think I mentioned there, the Middleton did a special reserve rare whiskey, and they started this in 1984. And every bottle is signed by the cask master or whatever. And the first one fetches over a thousand euro, and there's one or two later ones that fetch 2,000 or more. In fact, I think there's one that fetched 4,000 in one of our auctions recently. So certain dates are worth more than others. But also old whiskies. We had a bottle of Dublin Distillers, which was taken out of cask in 1916. Well, actually, sorry, it was left in cask for 50 years to 1966. And then this chap bottled them, and there's about three or four bottles left. We got €15,000 for one of those. So it's worth looking through your drinks cabinet and see. They have to be sealed, by the way.
All right. They can't have a little dram taken out. Okay, menu from the Queen Elizabeth 1961 is the text there.
Yeah, it's a thing that's worth probably, or 61, yeah, it's probably where that was the old Queen Elizabeth. There were two famous ships, Queen Mary and the Queen Elizabeth. It's pretty kind of thing that could fetch 10 to 20 quid. You know, it's not a huge thing.
I thought you were going to say 10 to 20 grand.
No, okay. No, no, no.
What about Millennium Irish Pound Coin is another one?
No, no, that's a myth.
God,
sorry.
Sorry, texter.
Sorry about that one. Yeah, people thought they were worth a fortune.
What about dinky cars, matchbox cars,
yes,
and all those things?
Yeah, the toys are a great collectible, and they vary as the generations get on. So probably my generation be into dinky cars and corgi cars, and then the next generation into Action Man and Barbie dolls, and then it goes on to Star Wars is a huge
collectible. I saw on the paper the other day, Barbie is 60.
Yeah, yeah, that's like right. That. Yeah, it's frightening.
There's one here. I've got a 1963 1D copper coin. Is it worth anything?
I'm afraid not.
No. Okay, moving
sorry,
on.
Sorry about that.
Is there any value on a JFK silver dollar?
Yes, because it's actually a silver, so they sell for about 10 to 15 euros each, which is a lot more, 50 cent face value. Yeah, but it has to be the 1964 one, because that's the silver one. The later ones aren't.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
okay,
the one they did enough. The year after his death was in silver.
Do you know all the dinkies and corgis and Action Mans and Barbies and all those? Mm. We're talking toys early 20th century, are we?
Yeah, going way back to tin plate toys of the 1900s or bisque dolls from the from the 19th century. But they have to be in reasonably good condition. Funny enough, teddy bears and dolls, not necessarily. People who collect teddy bears like a well-worn teddy bear. It means it was loved. And they pay money. There's a famous firm called Stief, a German firm, and they brought out the first teddy bears, and those can vary from a couple of hundred quid to a few thousand, so worth looking out for. And there were Irish toys made here, you know, in the 30s when we were trying to get industry going. There was Geltra Air and their Irish made dolls, and that made over in Galway somewhere, I think, and those are worth collecting.
The Crawley Dollies in Donegal.
Yeah, right. All that.
What about call cards? I have a collection of 550 from the 90s to the noughts, the noughties, Fergal and Strokes. I can hear that yamming now. Fergal and Strokes down, this doesn't sound good. Go on.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's fine. but they were a huge collectible when they were being issued. But with the mobile phone and all that, the nobody does them anymore.
I know, but that's his point.
Unfortunately, they've gone. There was one or two of those. I remember there was an IMI card that was produced at an IMI conference down in Kerry, and it was fetching €1,000 or £1,000 in those days, £1,000. And now they fetch maybe 100. Unfortunately, call cards have vanished from the scene, so to speak.
Well, what are some of the more valuable or memorable items that have been brought into you, those who knew they were worth a fortune?
Yeah, as I say, most people know if they have a rare painting, they have an idea that it's worth something. So, you know, we've had one or two where they brought in a painting and they fetched a bit more. But we did have one lady who found a picture up in the attic, and she didn't know, she knew her father had paid about 40, 50 quid for it back in the 40s, so she reckoned it has to be worth something. She brought it in, and we identified as a Paul Henry, and we got 60,000 for her, so she was delighted with that. And that can happen still, more so with lesser known painters. But we had another chap who got a picture out of a skip. And by the way, just to warn people, if you're taking someone out of a skip, you have to have the permission of the skip owner, otherwise it's larceny.
Not in New York City, it's not.
In Ireland and England it is, I'm afraid. But this chap did get permission from the person, and he got an old picture out and brought it in. He thought, he'd actually wanted the frames, he was getting the frames so he could put the other things in, and he happened to find a picture in it, and I said, fine. So we got him about 12,000. He thought he might get 50 quid for it.
For the picture?
Yeah. It was an AE, George Russell.
And was he allowed to keep it?
Well, he'd been given permission to take the stuff out of the skip. So.
Okay.
He now had ownership, so that was good too.
Wasn't there a bloke in Roscommon who...
Oh, yeah.
Who's he? What did he do?
He was a fella. He found it in his father's library, found his books, and he was going through the books. And this is the thing, by the way,
the books.
Take your book and flip them.
Because you never know what might
be in it. All sorts of stuff. Yeah. Money is a great thing. People hide banknotes and stuff like that. But this chap, he'd folded up what he thought was a reproduction of the 1916 proclamation. Brought it into us, it's about 20 years ago, and he brought it in, and we identified, no, that's one of the real ones. We checked it all out, and we managed to get him 50 grand for it. And in fact, we resold that one recently for 180, so it's gone up quite a bit.
Wow. And finding paintings in the attics then from the 1940s or whatever, I mean, it is...
Or back, it doesn't matter, it could be 100, they could be 20 years old, they could be 100 years old, but do check them out. I mean, you can... Usually they're signed, and if they're not signed, it's difficult. But You know, you can always email or write in or call to an auctioneer or an art dealer and see are they worth something, just in case.
Because what was I going to say? I can't remember who it is exactly, but somebody. Well, I know that we were talking about Clint Eastwood this week. He's got a new movie out, and we'll be talking about him on the program tomorrow. But Clint Eastwood was famous 4 or 5 years ago for talking to a chair on stage, like when there was nobody in it at the congressional thing in 2012. But the point is that that chair is now in some very famous. I can't remember which one it is, not Mike Pompeo, but somebody's office, and he points out it's the most photographed thing in his office. It's the best sort of conversation piece to break the ice, he says, whatever. But the chair.
We had a chair,
The Padraig Pearse chair.
Yeah,
can you prove he sat in it?
Yeah. It was his chair. It was the chair he sat in when he was headmaster of his school in St. Enda's. And the man had an idea. He knew it was from Pearse, but we managed to prove that it was the actual chair, and he thought he might get 1,000.
So he knew this, came in and said it's Bawdy Pearse's chair.
And he had,
how could he prove it?
What was great was he had he was distantly related to him, but it came sideways.
Okay.
It came through his aunt had been given it by Margaret Pearse. And she had said that was Padraig's chair, and I want you to have it, and it kind of went down. And he had an idea, but and luckily he had his birth cert, his aunt's birth cert, all the connecting paperwork to go with it. And that's a very important thing. It's called provenance. So if you have a paper trail all the way from, you know, the original person who owned the thing all the way to you, that's very important, especially with things like that. You're saying that's so and so's chair. I mean, I had a man came in. He said he had Michael Collins's gun. And I said, where'd you get it? He found it in a skip or something. I said, well, what proof do you have? But he hadn't. On the other hand, we did have a Michael Collins gun where they had the proof all the way back to, it was actually came from the car he was in when he was shot.
Right.
And it was abandoned in the car, and these people, it's abandoned in a field at the back of a house, and these people got, I think we sold that for 75,000. So provenance is everything, but they had everything. We even got them to swear an affidavit and stuff to make sure. Because when people are paying out a lot of money for something, they want proof.
Wow. Okay. All right. And what about this £10 banknote that was found?
It's made because people hide money in all sorts of places around the house. So it's always worth checking out a few things.
Yeah.
And somebody had put this £10 note, which is dated 1929, they'd hidden it in the back of a picture frame. Now, unfortunately, the bad part of it was it got stained because there was a bit of wood that got stained in it, but so it wasn't in perfect condition, but it was a very rare variety. It was a 1929 Ploughman £10 note, but it was one issued for the Northern Bank, which was a small bank at that stage, so there weren't too many of them, and we got €14,000 for it.
And do you err on the side of caution in terms of being the middle person?
We always try to.
You have to say, well, that's worth about 10 grand. And you know it might be 15, but you shouldn't go there.
You don't want to lift their hopes too high.
Because there was a woman who inherited a Victorian wooden coin cabinet.
Right, yeah,
so like there was a huge amount of coins in there. She must have known it was worth something.
She knew it was worth something. It was nice one. It was her great uncle. And I think she wanted the money for some particular purpose. So I had a quick look through it and I said, this is worth at least 5 to 7, but we'll have to get our coin expert out.
Yeah.
And she was delighted with that. She would have taken 5 grand at the spot, I think. But anyway, he went and looked at it, said it was worth 15 to 20. And then by the time we got to auction, we split it up and everything. And we got sold something singly. We got about over 40,000. So she was a very happy lady.
Just a matter of interest, just to go back to me. The New Musical Express every week had the charts, the top. Okay, well, I have the top 30, whatever. And the first time the Beatles were in the chart, number 17 with a song. And I got it signed by Paul McCartney. And
excellent.
I have a photograph of him signing it, okay? And he asked me for the damn thing. And I said, no, it's mine. Anyway, point about it is, off the top of your head.
A couple of thousand.
I might wait.
I'll tell you, there was one we had, there was an Aer Lingus hostess who was on the plane that brought them here. And because I think they came here and then they took the train to Belfast.
Right.
And anyway, in those days you got a menu on the plane, and she got the boys to sign the menu, but Paul was grumpy and wouldn't sign. So John Lennon forged his signature.
Oh, really? Wait a minute, a Paul McCartney autograph signed by John Lennon?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's the only one I can think of. But anyway, we got 5,000 for that.
Really?
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. I might have a few other things too. Yeah. You never know. Just a couple of ones here. There was 51552. Yeah. And by the way, if I say it again, what we're doing here, I know we're getting loads more in, so I don't
really.
Ian White, the MD of White's Auction House. Irish census maps from 1920s?
Yes, some of those are collected. They're worth money. they were published by the government, so there were a reasonable amount of them done, and I think most libraries have them, but they're still sort of, I think they can fetch, I do them for every county, I think, so right. I don't know what this person has, but they're certainly worth getting, they should get them
and
checked out.
And they can get in touch with you, yeah. I have a 1900, as in like the year 1900, mm. Irish florin, and I can't find any info about it. Am I an unknown millionaire?
Well, you are, because there was no such thing as a 1900 Irish flag.
but you're a fantasist.
Unless there was a 1900 fantasy coin, as they called it. And it might be that's what he has. Maybe you could get it checked out. It might be an English florin, in which case it's worth five or something like that. But there was a fantasy coin brought out, because at that time we were discussing home rule. So somebody brought out what the coins would look like if we got home rule, so they would have had Queen Victoria or King Edward VII on one side, and they had a coat of arms of Ireland on the other, and it would have Hibernia written on it. So tell them to get it checked out.
Are you a historian in your spare time? Is that
it? Yeah, it goes with the job. The territory.
Yeah. Here's one here. It says, I have a framed picture from 1920, 1930 from Jacob's Biscuits with the name of Jacob's Biscuits all around the frame, and my grandparents received it from Jacob's as they had a grocery shop at the time. That's from Michael.
That's the kind of thing we were talking about earlier, advertising. So a couple of hundred quid upwards, a couple of hundred euro upwards.
They can check it out at what?
Whites.ie. Yeah, you can spell it either way. We have it covered.
Oh, you have an I instead of a Y, do you?
Either way.
All right, okay. Well, it's whyts.ie. /valuations.
The email is there. They can email it. They can take a photograph thing with their phone and just zap it into us, and we can give them an idea of what it's worth.
Ian, thank you very much indeed for dropping in. Ian White, the MD of White's Auction House. Thanks a million, Ian. Come on yourself. Dave Fanning on 2FM.